Yogi, before we get out of the New York Yankees era, the great era, could you talk a little bit about Billy Martin, the player, friend? And
Billy beat you, try to beat you any way he can, even when he was a player. And even as a manager, he'd come up some tricks because he'll do anything to win a game, Claire. You know that. He's a real good competitor and a nice guy. Like you were just talking before, he wouldn't talk to you. But if he got to know you, you came his friend, he'll be with you. And that's the way he always was. Him and Mickey were real. They seen eye to eye together, you know, and all that. And Billy was funny. He's got a good heart, I'll tell you that right now. Same way with Mickey and Whitey. Whitey Ford, we had more fun because we used to go out. I used to kid him a lot. I said, hey, you guys are staying out, I'm going home. So, but most of the time when they went out, though, I'll tell you, Whitey never, the next day he was supposed to play, the night, you know, he rests, he stay home, Whitey, because he knew he was pitching that day. And I used to kid Mickey. I said, you know, when I know when I've had enough Mickey, I said, I look up the ceiling. If I see it spinning around, I'm going home. Yeah. If it don't spin, I'm all right.
Now, Ford was an interesting case because of all those great pitchers you had with the Yankee, he's the only one who's really in the Hall of Fame. Can you talk a little bit about what made him so great?
Whitey, you know, he could throw a 3-0 curveball. He had a good curveball. And Whitey didn't throw it one way. You know, he'd come overhand, three quarters, then sidearm.
So you could call 3-0 curve, and he would throw it. He didn't object to it.
Oh, heck no. Never shook me off. No. That's what was good about it. You know, like you were talking before, you know, see a curveball in 3-1, fastball. Whitey give you a curve and get it over. Bobby Shantz was that way too. Hey, we had Shantz too.
Yeah, he's a great pitcher.
He was another one too.
Now the hitters will yell at you if you don't challenge them with the fastball.
I know it, but I don't know if them gums are right. But it seems like everybody's throwing 95 miles an hour. I don't know if they're right or not. You know them guns.
The managers don't seem to trust them. They don't put a lot of stock in them.
But there can't be the pitching today that you had. You just think about the number of really terrific pitchers in the big leagues today. We couldn't name four or five really outstanding pitchers. You had four on one team.
Well, you go back to the old time, you know, when you had it, you at least had two or three good ones on each club.
That's right.
Today, you're lucky if you get two.
Other than Pedro and Johnson today, you'd have a tough time. Maybe Schilling. You can't name five really great pitchers today.
That's right.
I guess the Atlanta Braves staff is the aberration because they seem to go three or four deep each year, but that's not the case everywhere.
Yeah. Atlanta does that. Well, the Yankees doing pretty good too, they claim. But it's tough to find them today, I'll tell you. They got to bring them up too fast and lose confidence. Some of them kids that come up, if they get hit, they say, I can't pitch up here.
Yogi, what do you think the role of just the training and intelligence is in pitching? Obviously, you have to have a great arm, but you and I know a lot of pitchers who could throw hard, but just couldn't.
They weren't smart enough, and they
really didn't have a strategy. But isn't a big part of it still how smart you are?
Oh, sure. Like, I go back to Rashi. Main pitch was a fastball. If he was in trouble, I used the fastball with him because he could spot it. And that's what he did at spring training all the time. I want to work on my fastball and position the ball. And once in a while, mix in a curveball. But I want to establish my fastball. He didn't care if he got hit at spring training, but he just wanted to work on it.
Because the guys would know a fastball was coming, but they didn't know where he was going to throw it.
That's right. They didn't know. Reynolds the same way, you know, work on control. Maybe he want to work on his curveball. I'm like, I need a little more work on it, you know.
But, you know, today the guys don't spend much time in the minors. First place, there aren't the number of teams.
That's true, too. Well, that's true, too. I think they rush kids too fast. They claim they throw 95 miles an hour, but he don't know where to throw it. Throw it at 95. If you throw it in the middle, it looks good.
You know, we always say Warren Spahn didn't win a game till he was 25 years old. And he had a lot of experience. A lot of people were trying to teach him. Kofax had trouble. Today, it seems as if you're left-handed and can throw hard, you're going to go to the majors in no time.
Well, you look at a lot of Reynolds was 27, 28 years old before he became a good pitcher. Rashi was 27, 28 when he throws the bat. A lot of these guys are 26, 20. They're coming up at 20 now, 19.
From Double A.
Because they don't have nobody else. That's the thing, and that could hurt a kid sometimes. Unless he's really, he's got to be an exception, like Fowler was. You know, he was an exception.
And when you were growing up, there was no NBA. Baseball was the dominant sport. Now kids,
well,
I guess.
They got soccer too today. They're all playing that and everything. I don't know. I always thought, you know, you play the thing in the fall. Like, I know I see these guys playing soccer in 90-degree weather. We never played soccer in 90-degree weather. It was always weird, snow or sleet. We played it in the winter.
Do you think that Spahn told me he thought pitchers didn't pitch enough rather than pitch
that
too much?
They're afraid, you know, you got young kids down the mind, they don't want to hurt them. But if you notice a lot of guys too, you're pitching that winter league. You know, they're already ready to come when, like we're talking about spring training.
Right.
They'll go for half a year and then they get tired.
But Bob Watson made a point saying that American kids don't play sports enough. They don't go out as you did just to have fun, play every day. Mm-hmm. He said that baseball is competing with Nintendo, with the other sports. And he said, you go to Latin America, the kids throw all the time. How much did your just playing every day give you a head start in baseball?
Yeah, it gives a lot. You play every day, you'd be surprised. You're hitting every day. You're not just hitting once a week. Like a little league, a little bit, you know. They only bat three times. What the heck, that's not hitting. Hit three times. To me, it's changed. The kids want to be in uniforms today. We didn't care what we were when we played. Just as long as you played. And, but it's a different generation now. It's a new thing now. And the kids want to be dressed up, you know, like they see their idol, you know, look like him, do that.
Yogi, you played from the 40s into the 60s. Could you tell us a little bit about what changes you saw? Obviously,
the AstroTurf, I didn't like that today.
Yeah.
I don't like AstroTurf. I think it was the worst thing that ever came in baseball, AstroTurf.
And of course, a lot more night games during your career.
Well, night games you don't mind. I don't mind that. Well, we played a lot of days, then we started playing nights. And
the travel was harder in one sense. In the old days, you had the train. Now you have.
Oh, I love the train. What the heck? You always had a day off when you went. When we went to St. Louis, we had the day off.
Yeah.
Look at what these guys are doing now. They're flying home 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. They got a game at 1 o'clock today. That's just as bad.
And they play a longer schedule now. You got six more games.
And you're cramped in a plane. At least on a train, you can walk around. You eat a good meal on it too.
And you coached in a dome.
Oh,
did you ever think
I know that.
Indoor
I'm
baseball.
Glad I didn't play AstroTurf, I'll tell you. Although the catcher's all right, he's, you know, he's in the dirt. But I think that hurt, fielding average and everything, I think. You know, it helped some of the guys leave. But the outfield have a rough time. Well, you got to make up your mind just like that. You know, if it comes in too far, it goes over your head.
Right.
And if a ground ball goes through the infield, my gosh, it's out to the... They roll so fast. That's why I guess they get all them speedy outfielders now. I don't know.
The St. Louis Cardinals. They changed into a track team.
Good. Sure.
What about as you were ending your career, did it ever occur to you that you wouldn't stay in baseball in some form? As you were getting ready to hang up the spikes, did you think about
No,
leaving?
I wanted to stay in baseball.
You
I
wanted to stay?
Did after I got fired from the the Yankees offered me a job when I got fired in 64. I said, no, I want to see if I could get a coaching job somewhere. They want me to go in the office. And I said, no, I can't do that. And so Casey gave me the job in 65 with the Mets. I went took that. After I got fired from the Mets, John McMillan said, you want to coach with the Houston? Heck yeah, it's baseball. I want to stay in baseball.
Tell us the difference as you were a great ball player, and then you would sit on the bench as a coach, or you would coach on the bases, and you would look at kids who were obviously much less skilled, much less talented, maybe not as motivated. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between being a player and being a coach or a manager? Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you could see the kids, you know, maybe a coach more than a manager, you know, because you're with them more than a manager. Maybe a manager's busy talking to a writer or something, where a coach is there and he sees them all the time. Well, this guy ain't got this, he's not doing this today, you know what I'm saying? And, well, it's tough to get a kid is to, today, I think, a little bit, is to go out and work on your outfield, or if he's an outfield, work on it. Today they said, no, I don't, I got a hit. They all want to hit. They all want to hit today. They don't want to work on the other stuff. That's what I see mostly. I really do.
You know, the old timers that I talk to, some of them say, look, the pitchers can't bunt. That's because the pitchers won't work at it.
Work at it. But in our day, they did, though. In our day, they practiced. You had a bunt. They put them in a cage and bunt.
But now the pitchers can fail the bunt and still get signed. I mean, you would think that would be a big deficiency. Yet you watch Maddox and some of the great ball players. Maddox can bunt.
Yeah.
And he won't make that mistake. If you send him up to bunt, he'll bunt.
Yeah.
How did that? Did the players just change because the pressure wasn't as great? Or do you think they're not as intense?
No, I don't know. I know it's a skill, that bunt, you know, it is. A lot of pretty good people could bunt. Jackie Robinson could bunt. They had some pretty good guys that could bunt, you know.
Maybe the DH with some of the...
Could hurt that, DH. You got the DH. They go for the runs now.
Maybe long-term contracts make you a little more comfortable.
But the other players, I mean, it would seem to me if one of your guys let you down, there would be enough peer pressure so that the guy would go out and work and he wouldn't want to.
Well, that's true. But like I said, all he want to do is hit. I'm not kidding you. He said, I ain't got time for it. I'll do that later. I want to go and hit.
But when you see the hitters today, not to just disparage the modern generation, what do you think of these guys? They seem to be bigger, stronger. Everybody hits 50 home runs.
I think the ball's alive. What do you think, Faye?
Well, I really don't.
I read in the paper. Sure.
When I was commissioner, I tested it, and we couldn't find it.
Well, they did two tests this year. One said it's not. Then one test said it's 70% alive than last year.
Really, I didn't see that.
Then the ball's much alive there now.
But I remember when in the playoffs a couple years ago, the Red Sox challenged Albert Bell. They wanted his bat examined. Gene Budick ended up sawing his bat in half, and he pointed to his arm. And these guys do seem to be a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah, they're strong. But what gets me, why is there so many on a DL? That's what I want to know.
We need to stop tape just one moment.
When you were a Yankee, with the idea of DiMaggio sitting down if he had an infection in his eye just never occurred to him. He told me in 38 or 9, he had a very bad infection, he played.
Casey was the same way. You know, if you had a cold, you know, you say, you come out. You don't have to play, but sit on the bench.
Yeah.
Keep warm. Let them know you're here, because I could use you as a pinch hitter. He will never, not unless you really go dying, you know, stay home. But otherwise, cold didn't mean a thing.
But now, Yogi, when you were managing, how do you get the players? How do you motivate them? How do you deal with them today when they have contracts?
It's tough today. I think it's tough. You know, Bob Sheffin, remember when he had the Mets there?
Yeah.
He told me. He told me, you want another... 2-year contract, he says, I'm not going to be here after this year. He said, he told me point blank. I said, why not, Bob? He said, to see what's going on now, I'm getting the pitcher. He said, I ain't going to stay here and argue with a ball player. He said, I don't want anything to do with it. And he did quit, Bob Sheffield. And he was one heck of a guy. He was a good guy. The players liked him. But he says, I don't want to go through that talking to lawyers and everything.
Did you have that problem as a manager? Did you have difficulty?
No, not at that time. No, not that time.
Were you a manager who just simply didn't want to know about the contracts and the clauses, incentive clauses, and all that?
They wouldn't know anything about it. That's up to the front office to take care of that.
And what about managing? You've said, I think, on a number of occasions that the toughest part of managing is changing pitchers.
The pitchers, sure, you got to know. You got to know who's good. And, you know, that, you know, if you got a catcher, a good catcher could help you out a lot. It really can.
But now you studied the game, and you're famous for remembering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of these guys have computers and charts and things like that. You did all that mostly with your own
memory. I know who they got on the bench. I don't need a computer to tell me who's on the bench.
And you remember what they did, too.
Yeah. You remember who hits who and all that stuff. And,
what was the best part of managing? What was the most fun that you had?
Well, winning is the most part of managing that we do it. But it's just good, trying to outguess the other manager and all that. It's fun, you know, it's like a challenge. You know, it's like playing a game. And,
in a 162 game season, how much difference do you think a really good manager?
I don't know. I know some guys say maybe three, you know, four, you know, that a manager could win the game for him. I don't know how many it takes to win. You know, as long as you got good ball players, you can win a lot of them. That's what makes a good manager, too.
Yogi, you have in common as a manager, you have in common with Felipe Alou and Hal McRae, the privilege of having managed your son, having managed a son. How difficult was that, or how much fun was it?
It was fun, you know. I was only 16 games for that's all.
Right.
But it was fun. He hurt himself, and I think he broke his finger in Cleveland there when we were up to Cleveland. Cleveland it was. He hurt his finger, but he was doing. I was platooning him, Peg LaRulli, a little bit there,
But when Dale was in Pittsburgh, did you fantasize about maybe being on the same team one day, managing him, or did you want it?
I didn't bring it up. See, Dale had a tough spot going himself. You know, they say he was a heck of a third baseman, but they had Madlak there. They wanted him to play. And they moved him to short. That was a new position for him. And they said, Dale, you play third, which I've seen him play third, you know, in high school. Now he was a good third baseman. And maybe that hurt him a little bit. I don't know if it did or not, but sometimes guys are glued to one position. But he worked out all right, pretty good at short. He had some range, he had a good arm. Know that.
Well, you managed your son in the Steinbrenner portion of the program at the risk of going back to some bad times. Well, how would you sum up your relationship with George?
Oh, George has been very good now, Claire. It has. The only thing, like I told him, I said, I got fired before, but I want the owner to tell me I'm fired, not like he did it. And that's the only grudge I had against him.
He sent the general manager
to tell me. No, because, well, Mr. Grant called me, the new, what do you call it? We want to make a change. I said, that's up to you, make a change. And same way, Topping and what do you call it, we're over there, we want to make a change. As long as you know about from the head guy, I don't want to know from another guy.
The players, having covered that Yankees team, I know that the players loved you, and that was a very tense day. In Chicago, there was a lot of hostility in that clubhouse. Dale was in tears, and some of the other players. You went on the bus to the airport. Yeah. Can you talk about that trip to the airport?
Well, I was all right. I said I was going to get to go and spend a little time, have a vacation a little bit, and I did. Until that season was over, I signed with John, you know that. I didn't mind it one bit. It was a vacation. I never was off before.
The players gave you an ovation when you got off the bus. Yeah, how'd you feel when you?
Oh, I felt good. They were a good bunch of guys. They did.
Talk about the years in Houston with John. Those must have been nice years for you because he was a good friend of yours. And Art Howe was there. Is that right? And you had.
Well, Helen there the first year. We won in '86. There, that's when we had a good series with the Mets.
Yeah, that was a great series.
And I was there 4 years there, and I enjoyed every minute. And Bagwell we got for, what was the name?
Larry Anderson.
I'm setting you up with this, but I think it's the greatest trade in the last 25 years.
It helped,
and you were the one who moved Bagwell to first base. Tell us about that. I mean, he was a wonderful player.
Well, Matt Galante and I saw him. Matt said he'd make a good first baseman. I said, well, why don't they put him there then? You know, Matt's a better infielder because he worked with Bijo. He made Bijo a heck of a second baseman.
He used to be a catcher.
He used to be a catcher.
Yeah.
And they finally, the last day of the spring training, they put him on first base. They wait till the last day to put him there. And then he played there ever since.
Because you had a good third baseman in Simonetti, right?
Yeah, Caminetti, yeah.
So you couldn't put him in third, right. But
he was good.
Now this kid has a chance to be a Hall of Famer, and you had a great effect.
And he's a good kid, and he's a good kid. He likes to win, I'll tell you that. Him and Beach, they really like the game. They really play hard.
You wonder if they'll go through their careers wondering how to win in the postseason. Is that puzzling to you, that those two in particular struggle?
We came close that one year,
yeah.
They always get in the playoffs, though, but they get knocked off the first round. This year they're not going to make it.
Bijo got hurt, too.
He's out now. That's the first time he's ever been injured. That's a pretty good record.
That was a good nucleus they had there for a while.
You had Nolan Ryan there for a while with you. Talk about him.
Nolan was a miracle man. My gosh, what could you say about him? You know, pitched as long as he did. Oh, was he 42? 42, wasn't he?
Yeah.
43, I don't know.
Of course, Spahn made it up that.
You know, that's funny on Nolan. You know, when he was at the Mets, he was the laziest kid. You know, we had to find him to do the running. And now he did all them stuff. It was a different man, you know. When I saw him again, you know, he got a chance to pitch with the Angels, you know, with the Mets. It was pretty hard, you know. He always had you on the front steps, but he got to pitch with the Angels. That's what I think made him real good.
You're talking about some of the Hall of Famers you've come across as coach and manager. This year might be Dave Winfield's turn. Could you talk about Dave?
Well, that's up for the writers now.
That's up to the writers, right?
My department.
Not tipping our hand.
I like him. I know that. Yeah. You got Manning. Well, he's not coming up. Is he coming up this year, Manning?
I don't think he's eligible yet.
Next year, I think.
Right.
Next year. So, you don't know. It's hard to say.
Right.
You know, for me, if you're a writer, it'd be a different story, you know, because you got a lot of guys to write. Like, the Hall of Fame, it's tough for us. We only could pick one.
But what did you think of Dave as a player?
Oh, great. Good man, tell you that. He's real nice.
When you look back at Nolan Ryan, do you put him up there with Feller and some of the great hard-throwing pitchers that you saw?
Sure, I put him up there. He always could throw hard when he was young. He just had to find the control and got a better curveball and come up with a good change, too.
Who were the hardest throwers? I mean, the guys just threw. People say Dalkowski, that kid that was with Baltimore.
Yeah, but he couldn't find
couldn't
home plate.
He
hit the backstop a lot. That's what I heard. Well, you know, a lot of guys, when I was the Mets coaching there, you know, Koufax, you know, pitching, they used to tell me, you're lucky you didn't bat against Koufax. I used to say, you're lucky you didn't bat against him where he couldn't find home plate. I bat against him where he couldn't find home plate.
But you had Page, and they say he was a very hard thrower.
No, yeah, hard thrower, but it wasn't as wild as, you know, as
Koufax. Yeah, Tommy Byrne, wasn't he wild?
Yeah, he went back to the minors and came up with that slider and a little change and made him a good pitcher.
Yogi, going back to your Yankee roots, what does it mean to have had your number retired, to have a spot out in center field?
Well, I'm with a good man. That Bill Dickey, we both got
share the number.
Just share the number, and who's all out there? It's great. That's a heck of a team out there. It's not bad.
What's your greatest contribution? Would you feel?
Oh heck, I don't know. I couldn't say. Had a lot of good stuff happen to me, like this museum I got over here. Whoever thought I have a museum? And still alive to see it. You know, usually you're dead before they do something for you. And this is, it's been great. I had a lot of good things, you know. My kids, I like them, everything.
Now there's a wall in your museum that has probably all the Yogi-isms on it. Oh, do you get a kick out of that, Wall? Is it much a kick?
Oh, yeah, the Wall. Duh. I don't even know why I say them, though. Right? That's the funny part about
well,
it.
But that was that wonderful book you put out. Yeah. Explain them. That's a terrific.
Man. Well, it just comes out. I don't know why I say them. That's the funny part, Faye. I really don't.
Do you have a favorite or the one that's...
They're all pretty good. You come to the Falkland Road, take it, you know, and all that. Nobody goes here. It's too crowded. Yeah, I still say it now. If you tell me what time it is, I say now. So, I still say that.
So, Yogi, what do you want to be? This tape is going to be available for people a long time from now who will want to know what you want to be remembered for. Do you have some thoughts about what you want to have people think about you when they look back on your contribution in baseball?
Well, I don't know. I hope they like me when I played, that, you know, I didn't try to hurt anybody or anything. I enjoyed playing the baseball game. I met a lot of friends. That's what I like about it. I've met a lot of friends in this game. You know, you meet a lot of friends if you want to make it. You can meet some bad ones, too. You got to be careful. But I've made a lot of friends here. I could go back when Tutt Shore was here, Danny's Hideaway was here. What do you call it in Harlem? What's the name of that place?
The theater, Apollo.
Remember all them things. You see the jazz down in the bar. It was great. I enjoyed New York. I really do. And it was a great city. I'll tell you, people loved you here. They really did.
But they still love you, Yogi. And I think at the end, we should say that the Yankees were always...
Oh, Yankees, what the hell?
You were regarded as a class operation, and that was Gehrig and DiMaggio.
Oh, yeah.
But you contributed to that, and I would think that people will remember you as a really classy participant in baseball. You've always been a really elegant part of the game, and I think the museum is a testimony to that.
I'm proud I became a Yankee instead of a St. Louis Cardinals. That's the thing. Like I said, George is really very good, and he's saying the right thing so far. That's what I would say.
But baseball, I think, owes you a lot. You contribute a lot, and we're appreciating all the time you gave us here today. So thank you very much.